Welcome to our second podcast about IC practice governance. This time, we'll be looking at the commercial business case for it, why it's almost certainly worth a fortune to your organisation. After all, internal communication pervades every other business activity, so it's surely in everybody's interests to have it functioning as well as it can, is it not? So why doesn't the business world already have a systemic approach to this in the way it does when it comes to supporting line managers with their budget activities? There can be several reasons, but one of the biggies is surely money. Because it doesn't take a great deal of thought to realise that introducing a system of IC practice governance for line managers would be no small task and likely involve quite an investment. But as with any investment, the real question is, would it be worth making? What return could you reasonably expect it to deliver? And how quickly might you start seeing that return? Importantly, though, when we look critically at IC practice governance, the numbers more than make sense, many times over, in fact. And to understand why, we need to think about this return on investment from an angle which isn't usually applied to internal communication. You see, for decades, IC managers have been incredibly keen to prove the value of what they do. And over the years, we've asked hundreds of them why they want to do so. Specifically, we ask them, what do you want to be able to do as a result of having demonstrated that value? And without a single exception, every internal communication specialist, manager, director, everybody comes out with a list of things they want to change, whether it's securing more budget, a bigger team, or just getting more influence. However, if that's the real point of doing it, then paradoxically, proving what they are worth is actually a waste of time, because that's what internal communication is worth at the moment, without changing anything. So it may be useful for protecting what they've already got, but where's the catalyst for change, for getting more? For that, we have to look at something other than the value of the status quo. We need to consider the IC function's untapped potential, what it could be worth if you were to introduce IC practice governance. But hang on, how can we do that? How can you measure what isn't there? Simple. We take a leaf out of the risk management playbook. Now, this may seem counterintuitive at first, but as we work it through, it should start to make sense to you, because we're talking about the risks and the already measurable costs of a different part of the status quo. The part where we have, as we currently do, ungoverned line management communications, because that's where the eye-watering untapped potential value lies. And to understand it, we need to make a simple but critical distinction between internal communication investments and internal communication costs. And what is that distinction? Again, it's really simple. IC investments are necessary. Your organisation cannot not make them. IC costs, on the other hand, are unnecessary. There are 9 of them, and every one is avoidable. So when you get your head around these avoidable costs and the sheer scale of them, and when you can put some credible numbers to at least some of them, which is disarmingly easy to do, by the way, the business case for governing line managers' communication activities becomes a complete no-brainer. So let's take a quick scamper through these investments and costs, starting with the investments, of which there are 3, although only 2 of them will likely apply to line managers, because the first investment is the IC budget, which obviously the internal communication team have, but most line managers are unlikely to have a dedicated budget for internal communication. Some of them do, but many of them don't. However, they will be investing in, first of all, production and delivery time. This includes any time that a manager may be spending writing notes to their team, running team meetings, running one-to-ones, or putting together and delivering presentations, whether to their own team, their peers, or their bosses. And then, because it's internal communication, we also need to factor in the final of these three investments, audience time. Because we're talking about internal communication rather than external, your organization has to pay the audience for their time, every minute of it. And although it's obvious, we always need to bear in mind that communicating with a team of just 6 employees for 10 minutes consumes 1 working hour. Oh, plus the 10 minutes of the communicator, of course. So these are the necessary investments. Now, how about the 9 unnecessary costs? Well, they actually fall into 2 categories. Firstly, there are wasteful production and distribution costs, which can make the necessary investments unnecessarily high. There are 3 of these. And there are also 6 communication failure costs, which your organization incurs every time a line manager's communication doesn't achieve the necessary results. And of course, this means the truly insidious part here is that your organization can be incurring most of these avoidable communication costs when a line manager doesn't communicate. So we'll come on to these 6 failure costs in a moment, but let's begin with the wasteful production and distribution costs, just to get them all straight in our head. First of all, there are what we can call moving goalposts. Now, if you're an IC specialist or an L&D or HR specialist, you'll probably be only too aware how often clients can change their minds about what they want. How much more likely is this with a line manager who, through no fault of their own, has never been taught how to identify communication needs and also hasn't had the benefit of a formal briefing process to help them organize their thinking because they're not getting that kind of support. So they may sometimes find that they're moving their own goalposts, which of course means it's going to take them longer to put communications together. And those same shortcomings can create another cost with which, particularly if you're an IT specialist, you're probably also only too familiar: ditched projects, where loads of work gets done on a communication which subsequently gets ditched before it even sees the light of day. So all the time a line manager may have invested in it up to that point is going to have been wasted. Now, those 2 costs are frustrating, and they are for real, but they can be dwarfed by the 3rd cost, which we all know only too well: wasted audience time. For over a quarter of a century now, email overload has demonstrated just how many communications can end up going to people who simply don't need them. And the direct impact of wasting employees' time like this is obviously that your organization is paying for it. But there's also an indirect impact, which that unnecessary noise can be having on all those employees who may now have less time to invest in the communications they do need to be paying attention to. Which leads us into those 6 potential costs of communication failure. And this is where things really start getting pretty serious. The first of these failure costs we can call repeat communications. Because if a communication is supposed to be addressing a long-term issue, of course, it can be redone if it didn't work first time. And inevitably, this is going to mean having to make the investments all over again. But what's going to be happening in the meantime, before that repeat communication arrives? Or what if the issue is a short-term one? There are 2 possibilities here. It may make no difference, which inevitably tells us that the original communication wasn't needed in the first place, in which case the investment was just money down the drain. But if its failure does make a difference, it will incur 1 or more of the following 5 costs. Perhaps one of the biggest and most obvious communication failure cost is rework. The time it takes to correct mistakes and misunderstandings that arise from people not having all the information they need to do their jobs properly or not understanding it correctly. Now, if a communication fails to produce desired results, it's likely to produce undesired ones, and this can be massive. Let's just give you an example. A few years back, we were working with a British financial services company which was rated as one of the top three in the country for its client service. However, the client services director worked out that some 30% plus of his people's time was being spent correcting mistakes and misunderstandings. And this equated to 7% of the business's annual profit. What it meant in effect was that there was the equivalent of an entire office block of people devoted to doing nothing but correcting the company's own client service cock-ups. And bear in mind, this was one of the top three companies in the country. Goodness only knows how much it was costing the company at number 25. So correcting mistakes and misunderstandings is huge. However, that's only the second cost. We still have plenty to go through, because the third failure cost is missed opportunities. And these can manifest in different ways. If it's a short-term issue, then a communications failure can mean the organization's opportunity to either save money in the short term or generate short-term additional income or goodwill has immediately been missed. It's subtly different with long-term issues, though. Here, all the time employees are spending receiving unnecessary communications or correcting the resultant mistakes and misunderstandings is costing additional profit or stakeholder value those employees could have generated during that time. Then we have the fourth failure cost: lost audience goodwill. Now, the impact of losing this goodwill can also vary. With employees, it can mean disengagement, lower productivity, possibly even industrial action or higher staff turnover, which inevitably leads to higher recruitment, training, and possibly overtime costs. But if ill-informed or demotivated employees are communicating with customers, it can mean more complaints, possibly incurring compensation payouts and or fewer sales, resales or referrals. In extreme instances, it could even result in court cases. And this leads us neatly to the fifth failure cost: brand damage. Now, apart from having unhappy customers who are in direct contact with your organization, the prevalence of social media platforms can mean some employees may be saying things in the public arena which can also damage your brand. Now, they may do this because they're disengaged and disgruntled thanks to poor communication from their boss and elsewhere. Or it may be more innocent. Maybe they've just misunderstood something their boss said because it wasn't as clear or as timely or as complete as it needed to be. Either way, the damage can be done, even if it's hard to put a specific number on what it's cost. And then finally, we come to the possibility of purpose failure. Ultimately, if an organization's internal communications keep going wrong, it can start failing to fulfill its very purpose. This can be particularly true of public bodies, government departments, and so on, which can't go out of business, but can let down millions of people by simply not doing what they are there to do. And it's worth bearing in mind that sometimes this failure can happen in a particular department of an otherwise healthy organization. However, beyond the possibility of regulatory fines for some organizations, this failure cost is also unlikely to be something anyone can put an accurate number on. But it can be a very real cost to those on the receiving end of it. And uncomfortable though it may be to contemplate, in certain organizations, it may sometimes even be a matter of life or death. So it's not always just about the money. Even so, we have now looked at a whole load of costs which your organization can and almost certainly is incurring every day. So many costs, in fact, that it's probably worth having a quick recap. So let's just quickly go through them again. When it comes to wasteful production distribution costs, there are moving goalposts, ditch projects, and wasted audience time, and communication failure costs, most of which can happen even when line managers aren't communicating, will include repeat communications, correcting mistakes and misunderstandings, missed opportunities, lost employee goodwill, brand damage, and purpose failure. Together, these are almost bound to be costing your organization a fortune every day, even though, as we pointed out in the last podcast, no one is really to blame for it, at least not yet. But importantly, it's almost inevitable these costs will continue at their current level, whichever ones you're currently incurring. They're going to carry on for as long as your organization continues to have ungoverned line management communications. Now, obviously, each individual line manager's contribution to these costs may be relatively small. It's their cumulative impact that can be huge. But how can you measure this? After all, we know some of these costs would be difficult, if not impossible, to measure. Importantly, though, not all of them are. You can effectively measure at least some of the others, enough to make a credible business case. In fact, doing so is pretty straightforward, which is a good thing, because in our experience, most IC specialists tend not to be overly keen on numbers. So how could you do it if you want to find out how much untapped potential your organization is sitting on? Well, the good news is that we've put together a free tool which can do all the number crunching for you. We've called it Realize, and you can download it from our website for free. And without you having to do any calculations at all, in less than 15 minutes, it can give you some ballpark figures showing the kind of minimum ROI your organization could get from IC practice governance. And in fact, as a little bonus, you can actually use Realize to make a business case for pretty much any resources you want for the IC function. So, to sum up, IC practice governance will unquestionably involve some serious investment, and that investment is pretty much certain to deliver massive ROI by a factor probably of 10 or 20 times plus year on year, and start doing so within months. So if you're curious to find out how much untapped potential your organization is sitting on, because it's likely to be a huge amount, you can visit comdame.co.uk/realize and take your first step towards unleashing a new level of extraordinary potential. But of course, we need to remember that that ROI isn't just going to magically manifest itself. So in our next podcast, we'll make a start on mapping out some of the key building blocks your organization will need to put in place to make it happen. Or if you don't want to wait and you're keen to explore more about IC practice governance, you can tap into the dozens of other free resources available at comgame.co.uk. Thanks for listening. We hope you found this podcast useful, and by all means share it on LinkedIn or any other platform you like. And if you've any observations you want to make about this podcast, you can join us in the IC Practice Governance Group on LinkedIn. Until next time, take care.